This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Activision Blizzard is a gaming and entertainment company, one of the biggest in the world, in point of fact. Think Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Guitar Hero, among many others. Bobby Kotick is the CEO, the longest-serving CEO of any publicly held technology company, 25 years now and counting. Back in the day, Kotick was a software developer. Now, today, he is the new installment of Conversations from the Corner Office.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Bobby Kotick bought a chunk of the company that became Activision in 1990 when, it should be said, that company was $30 million in the hole and basically insolvent. So, when we sat down at Activision Blizzard's headquarters in Santa Monica the other day, I asked him why he made that deal.
You know, I think there were a few things that attracted me to the opportunity. The first was I just believed that video games were going to be a powerful form of entertainment. And when I was in college, my freshman and sophomore year, I played Activision games. And so I'd known the company. I started a software company in my college dorm room years earlier. And I knew the franchises. I knew the games. And so against the advice of everybody I knew, who said, why would you buy a bankrupt video game company? Just start a new one if you, you know, right. More of a Silicon Valley mentality, just start the new one. But I loved the library. You know, I played
the games library.
Like Pitfall and River Raid and Kaboom, and these were just great games.
So what's your biggest challenge right now as, you know, this space and the internet and all of that stuff changes like every day?
I would say, you know, having done this for 26 years, the challenges haven't really changed that much, other than I would say something that is a phenomena of the last 3 years. And that is, we as a business have so many opportunities for growth, for expansion, for new kinds of content creation.
And so you got to pick one, right? Basically,
we have to prioritize the ones that you have. But I have seen this increase in opportunity in the last few years that's come from a variety of things. But start with, for the bulk of my career, we made games for middle-class consumers in developed countries. So you had a $300 console, right. You had a $1,000 personal computer. We now sell in 196 countries today. And so the phone has really opened up all of these new opportunities.
So you got to be mobile. Got to be.
Well, the biggest part of the growth of the industry is mobile.
Does that mean bad things then for some of your legacy games that are traditional console games, like Warcraft and like Call of Duty and the big ones that people play on their couch at home?
Look, I would say there remains tremendous opportunity. We've always been a very platform agnostic company. So our attitude is, if you have a display and a microprocessor and a way to control it, we'll create content that is great for you. And there are more places to create great content today than there ever have been before. And that gets back to prioritizing opportunities. But those franchises are enduring franchises.
Do you, and I ask this, the guy who runs the company that makes both Warcraft and Call of Duty, but also like Candy Crush, and you can't get two more different games. Do you know a great game when you see one?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when you see something that is not ready for prime time or has like inspired creativity all around it. I remember I was in Kyoto, and Mr. Iwata and Mr. Miyamoto, the two heads of Nintendo, said, we want to show you something. And I went in this room, and there was a little table like this, and there was an old TV, you know, like a tube TV. And he had these two wands, and he gave me one, and he took one, and all I saw on the TV was a pond, just like a little pond with water. And he gave me the wand and said, go fishing. And like, it didn't take any thought. I just went like this, and all of a sudden I saw like the kerplop of the lure and the water splash, and I held the wand, and I was holding it. As I was holding it, the force feedback started, and I could feel the fish on, and I pulled the fish out. And I thought, this is going to completely transform video games, because the idea that you have a physical experience, you know, it's a very visceral experience, and the controller is something that you do have this unusual visceral relationship to, but this was something really different. And I think the phone has done something very similar. Some of the big differences are the social components, which didn't exist, but the idea that you have this piece of glass that you could touch, that you can move, that has an accelerometer that can actually change the position, like those are these moments that are you know, they give you that incredible energy to know that what you're doing is something that really has meaning and importance.
There's a question to be asked here about who this company is for, because you have, I think it's fair to say, gotten in some trouble in the past talking about got to make investors happy because we're a for-profit company, while gamers have said, wait a minute, you're making this thing that is our lives, basically. You have been called the most hated man in video games. I wonder if you've learned a lesson or two as this company has risen in prominence and your role in this community has increased, if that makes any sense.
I don't do this often, for starters. So, I rarely do it. I think there was a comment I made in 2008 that was taken out of
context.
It made
people go crazy. I mean,
but it was all in the spirit of humor. And was at a conference where I made a comment to be funny and explain why we were hiring people from Procter & Gamble. But at the end of the day, I think we've always adopted a philosophy that if you create compelling entertainment, that audiences will find their way to it. And you do have a commercial responsibility. But the primary responsibility that we feel as a company is to our players. And my philosophy about who our responsibility is to has never changed.
Bobby, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Kai.
We've got about another 20 minutes or so of the conversation that I had with Bobby Kotick. You can get it at our Corner Office podcast. And if you happen to be a gamer, well, it's put up or shut up time. We've got a sound quiz on our website. See if you can match the sound to the game. It's at marketplace.org.